before we have the ordinance of the Lord's Supper, I want to do a study and related to it, and this is in Leviticus chapter 13. So if you open your Bible to the first book, Genesis, and then go right, Exodus, Leviticus, it's the third book of the Bible, Leviticus chapter 13. One of the great, great pictures in the Old Testament, and God teaches us in pictures. You know, the Passover lamb symbolized Jesus, a picture of Jesus. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Moses struck the rock and the water came out, and Paul said, Jesus is that spiritual rock. And so God teaches us in pictures. In the Bible, in Leviticus 13, you have the laws of leprosy, okay? And leprosy is the greatest picture in the Bible of sin. If you look at leprosy, it goes back. It's the oldest known disease in the world. We have skeletons that are 6,000 years old that show signs of leprosy. It has dissipated in recent decades. In the 1980s, there were 5 million cases, new cases of leprosy around the world. But mostly today, with new drugs, leprosy is just in 12 or 15 countries of the world. But it's a terrible disease. It numbs the body. It attacks the nervous system. You can't feel. People can't feel feeling in their hands, their feet, their face. They get infections. They get cuts. They get diseases. And parts start falling off. Fingers, toes, noses, ears. It's a terrible disease. It's contagious. It can spread. It numbs you to feeling. It is an infection, and it will infect others. It's invasive. It gets all over your body, not just in one spot. It's gradual. It gets worse and worse, and finally you die from it. And so there are laws about leprosy in the Bible. And remember, when God teaches us in pictures, leprosy is the greatest picture in the Bible of sin. Look at Leviticus 13, beginning with verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, When a man shall have in the skin of his flesh a rising, a scab, or bright spot, and it shall be in the skin of his flesh like the plague of leprosy, then he shall be brought unto Aaron the priest, or unto one of his sons the priest, and the priest shall look on the plague in the skin of the flesh. When the hair in the plague is turned white, and the plague in sight be deeper than the skin of his flesh, it is a plague of leprosy, and the priest shall look on him and pronounce him unclean. I want to look at three aspects of sin, the picture of sin here, the provision of salvation for sin, and the practice of restoring people from sin. Look at Leviticus 13, beginning in verse 42. There be in the bald head, now that doesn't mean if you're bald-headed, you have leprosy, all right? You understand what a bald-headed person is. It's a person that had a crew cut and a crew bailed out, okay? Baldness, all right. But if there be in a bald head or bald forehead a white reddish sore, it is a leprosy sprung up in his bald head or his bald forehead. Then the priest shall look upon it, and behold, if the rising of the sore be white reddish in his bald head or in his bald forehead, as the leprosy appeareth in the skin of the flesh, he is a leprous man. He is unclean. The priest shall pronounce him utterly unclean. His plague is in his hand. If you have it, there's a judgment. If you have it, there is a separation because of it. Look at verse 45. And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent and his head bare. And he shall put a covering upon his upper lip and shall cry, unclean, unclean. All the days wherein the plague shall be in him shall he be defiled. He is unclean, and he shall dwell alone without the camp shall his habitation be. Because you have leprosy, there is judgment, there is separation. And that's a spiritual lesson. The picture of sin, it spreads. It's horrible. It starts out small. Remember, Benjamin Franklin, poor Richard Zarmanek, said, a small leak can sink a big ship. It starts out small, but it can kill the whole body. It progresses slowly. James 1:5 talks about the progression of sin. And lust bringeth forth sin, and sin bringeth forth death. And it doesn't have to be a fast thing. It can be a very, very slow thing. Helen Keller said one time, those that tell white lies soon go colorblind. Those that tell white lies soon go colorblind. It progresses. All of us are spiritual lepers in God's eyes. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. There is none that seeketh after God, no, not one. Romans 3, it's a living death. Galatians 6 talks about, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. But you can reap while you're alive. You don't always reap after you're dead. It destroys the whole person. Ephesians 2, and you hath he made alive who were dead in your trespasses and sins. We are the walking dead, because we are sinners. Doesn't produce sharp, unbearable pain, just a steady, restless pain. And John talks about that in John 13 when he says, if you know me, keep my commandments. It's a slow, restless pain when we begin to deceive God and drift from God and deny God. Brings people to a point of not having any feeling at all. Ephesians 4, there's a very interesting verse. It talks about people that can't feel anymore. Let me find it for you. Ephesians 4:19 talks about people like this, who being past feeling have given themselves even unto lasciviousness to work all cleanness with greediness. They have no feeling anymore. They have no conscience anymore. They are numb to what's good and what's wrong. And I think we live in that world today. Isaiah said there will come a time when people will call evil good and good evil. And I think we're living in that time today. They are past having feelings, Ephesians 4:19. It's hereditary. It's passed down. Many times leprosy is passed down in the family. Sin is passed down, whereby one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, so death passed unto all men, for all have sinned, Romans 5:12. So, sin demands judgment, Leviticus 13:44. Sin demands separation, Leviticus 13:46. We are separated from God. Adam and Eve were barred from the Garden of Eden. They were barred from God's presence, and we are too, unless we accept Jesus as our Savior. Archbishop Fulton Sheen, who was the first religious leader to broadcast on TV back in the 1950s, he used to tell a story. Of course, he was Irish. He liked a good joke. In fact, I walked on his grave at St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York. Bishop Sheen said one day, Adam was walking, they'd been kicked out of the Garden of Eden. Adam was walking along outside the garden with Cain and Abel. And they said, Daddy, what's that? And he said, Sons, that's where your mother ate us out of house and home. The picture of sin, Leviticus. The provision of salvation, Leviticus 14. This is grace. You want to call the New Testament period the age of grace? No. You can call it the church age, but it's not the age of grace, because there's grace in every period that God works with people. There's grace in every book of the Bible. Grace is not getting what you deserve, and there's grace in every period of the Bible. Leviticus 14, 1 through 6. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, let me put my eyes on here. This shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest, and the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look. And behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper, then shall the priest command to take for him that is to be cleansed two birds alive and clean, and cedar wood, and scarlet, and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. What does running water symbolize? Jesus said, out of you shall flow rivers of living water. This he spake of the Holy Spirit, which had not yet been given, John says in John 7. So the bird is killed in running water, and the living bird, he shall take it, and the cedar wood and scarlet and the hyssop, and shall dip them, and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And then you turn him loose. You sprinkle the leper with the bloody water seven times and pronounce him clean, and let the living bird loose into the open field. The provision for salvation. The leper doesn't do anything. The leper's outside the camp. It's the priest that comes to the leper and pronounces him clean. We really don't do anything. John 6:33. No man comes to the Father except the Father draw him. Unconditional election. There's nothing in us that made God choose us. We are sinners. God saves us because he loves us. He overlooks our sin. There's nothing in us that we deserve to be saved. God loves us and he saves us. The priest seeks the leper, not the leper seeking the priest. There's an old song, not real old, but old enough. Out of the ivory palaces into a world of woe, something, something, only God's eternal love could make my Savior go. It's only because of God's love, not because of anything good in us, because we are all sinners. The sacrifice was done outside the camp. All the other sacrifices are done at the bronze altar at the tabernacle. The sacrifice for the sin of the leper is done outside the camp. It's the only sacrifice. There are two birds because there's two parts to our atonement. There's the death of Jesus and there's the resurrection of Jesus. The death of Jesus, he was delivered for our transgressions, and the resurrection of Jesus, he was raised again for our justification. Both parts in one verse of the Bible, Romans 4:25. The bird that's killed in an earthen vessel with running water, Jesus was offered by the Holy Spirit for our sins. The live bird ascended into heaven. Who is he that first ascended, but he that descended into the lower parts of the earth? Then he ascended into heaven. Hebrews 9, verse 12 talks about that. Let me find it very quickly. It's Hebrews in the Old Testament and New Testament. All right, we cleared that up. Hebrews 9, 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by the own blood, his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Jesus died, he rose again, he paid the price for our sin. So you have the picture of sin, you have the provision of salvation, and you have the practice of restoration. Leviticus 14, look at verses 7 and 8. And he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy seven times. Seven is the number of completeness. We are completely saved through the blood of Jesus. It's not believe and be baptized. It's not believe and live a good life. It's not believe and join a church. It is believe. We are completely saved. Our salvation is done when we accept what Jesus did on the cross for us. He shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy seven times and pronounce him clean, and let the living bird loose into the open field. And he that is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes and shave off all his hair and wash himself in water that he may be clean. After that he shall come into the camp and shall tarry abroad out of his tent 7 days. Once the blood is applied and salvation is complete, he can come into the camp and have fellowship with God, can worship God, can have fellowship with God's people. After the leprosy is cleansed, he can come in and have all the benefits of being a child of God. He has to shave himself. He has to wash his clothes. He's got to make a change in his life. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things become new. You know, in order to make a change in your life, you need to make a change in your life. And people need to repent, and they need to ask Christ to give them the gift of eternal life. They're let back into the camp. They are back a part of God's people. John 1:12, as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the children of God, even to them that believed on his name. The Bible records a leper coming to Jesus, and that's in Matthew 8. Leper comes to Jesus, and Jesus says, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the leper says, "If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." And we all have the leprosy of sin. And we've got to come to Jesus, and when Jesus says, "What do you want?" we've got to say, "If thou wilt, thou can make me clean." We are all lepers. We come to Jesus. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins, Hebrews 7:22. And so that's why we celebrate the ordinance of the Lord's Supper today. He said, "Do this in remembrance of me." And we're going to obey him and do that just like Christians have done for 2,000 years. But right now, we're going to sing our invitation hymn. If you have a decision to make, if you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, if you have another decision to make, you make it. We're going to sing hymn number 134. Hymn number 134. Jesus paid it all. Let's stand together. We'll sing the first and last verse. If no one comes, this will close our offertory hymn, and we'll move into the ordinance of the Last Supper. Hymn number 134. Jesus paid it all.